Amen. Tell your neighbor I'm excited about tonight. Don't forget the kss.
That was really good.
Hallelujah. Thank you to our music ministry team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's give God a hand for them too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I really got a word I really believe will speak to us tonight. It's one of those messages that kind of position you. You either, so crazy amongst these funny stof donkeys over here, and I drive one now. Ja, nee, what can I say? Hallelujah. But it's good, eh? I'm so excited Jesus is here.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. What I was saying is this word that I believe is a positioning word. When you hear it, you either know that where you are in your walk with God, or you know that you need to change something, or you know you need to come back to get yourself in line with what God has for you. So tonight I want to talk to you. Let's get straight into it. Good start, courageous finish. Amen. A good start, but God wants a courageous finish. A finish that will be earmarked with courage when God looks at you. To hear those words of Jesus one day, well done, good and faithful servant. In little you've been faithful, in much I will bless you, the Bible says. What a wonderful joy. We all want to hear that, don't we? Amen. Anybody who doesn't want to hear that, put up your hands right now. We all want to hear that. I want to hear that. Please, God, help me to hear that. Praise the Lord. May that be. You know, Philippians 1:6 says this. Being confident of this, Paul says, writing to the church in Philippi, he says, he's confident of this. Isn't it amazing that Paul didn't say maybe, soma manet amperkis? No, no. He says, I'm confident of this. What is Paul confident of? Of what is he confident? He says, that he who began a good work, say good work. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Carry it on to completion. Can I tell you, when you've given your heart to Jesus, that was a good start. I want to tell you, if it wasn't a good start and you're not running with excitement, there's a problem with what you're saying about the Jesus that you've met. Because if you tell me you've met Jesus, then that was a good start. It wasn't a half-gebakte, half-geplakte ding nie. It was a good start because God starts a good work in the people that accept Him as their Lord and Savior. There's a guy by the name of Gary Ryan, and he makes a statement, and I want to use this. He says, what kind of competitor sees the finish line and then slows down? Always finish strong. Anybody here seen the Comrades Marathon? Okay, that's a part from you. It's that one that they run from Pietermaritzburg to Durban and back to Pietermaritzburg. Not the same day, though. it's about 100 k's, 98 kilos. Anybody sitting here tonight that's done the Comrades? Hallelujah. Why? Thought I'd just mention that, you know what I'm saying. I used to also run, and I loved running until I had an accident, so I can't run as much as I would like to. But have you ever seen, for those of you that have seen it, that had the privilege to see that? Maybe I should make it a bit more localized, but let me explain this one. Have you seen, now watch them, eh? Hy het soveel krampe, laat sy been hier achter hom sleep. And you think, why the heck do these people do this? But Appel, when he sees that finishing line, that crump comes right, I say. I tell you something, that finish line does something to him, eh? I mean, you've never seen, yeah, they're coming around, Rossi and that other thing who rides that other kind of bike. What's his name? Melandry Oak. And yeah, and they're going. Man, they're overtaking one another. You know what? When they saw the finishing line, then Marquez decided, oh, there's the finishing line, let's just tap off. No. He's actually throttling that so much that the poor engine's knocking valves. Church, none of us, we all have a good start, but we need to have a courageous finish. Nobody should get tired running. Hey, you know what I want to say now, and maybe a little bit of an indictment to the older Christians. If you've been serving the Lord for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe like me, I've been serving the Lord for 44 years tonight. Well, since January, 44 years I've been on this road. I'm as excited about Jesus the night I walked into that little plankvloer agterskermen Eiburgies and I said yes to Jesus and I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to come in my life. Has it been easy? No, it's not been easy. Have I failed him? Many times. But you know what? I'm excited about Jesus. We as older Christians should be encouraging the young ones to rise up and run this race. But you know what I find with the older Christians? Hulle sit terug en hang in die hangmat. Slap en lay. It's a tragedy. Because when you see the finish line, you need to pick up the pace. You don't slow down. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? We should pick up speed. We don't slow down. Amen. So from tonight on, you're going to pick up speed again. Amen. I just ask God for a little downhill in your life. Just so you can pick up a bit of speed. You know what I'm saying? But please be aware there's a valley down in the bottom there. Anyway, but at least you'll hit it running. Hallelujah. So now I want to tell you about a parable about two sons. And what this parable is about, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. We have some great starters. But tonight in this church, let me rephrase this. Tonight, not sitting in this church, are great starters who are on the wayward ways that are not going to finish strong unless they change their ways. And that's the tragedy of life. So Jesus tells this amazing parable, and when I read it, it just stirred my heart to share with you what I want to share with you tonight. And this is Matthew 21 from verse 28 to 32. Jesus starts off by saying, what do you think? So when you read it, there's obviously a question in this. So my question to you listening to me, Jesus is asking you, so what do you think about what he's just about to say? What do you think? So get those thinking little brains, that gray matter, get it to work quickly. He says, there was a man who had two sons. And he came to the first son and he said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And that son said, I will not. Ever had a son like that? Ek sal nie. Ek wil nie. Gaan nie. That's when no, I'm not going to say it. They best handled when paddled from the rear. That's all I want to say when you're going canoeing. So he says, I will not. But listen to this. Afterwards, he regretted it and he changed his mind and he went. But then, after this kid said he won't, he goes to his second son. And he says to the second son, the same thing, go into the vineyard and please work for me. And he replies, oh, absolutely, daddy, no problem, daddy. I am enthusiastic about this, daddy. And he did not go. Have you ever had those kids? Nee, pa, ek tel die honde se dinges op. No. Dan kom jy huis toe. Frankie! You know that story, eh? Verse 31. You remember the introduction? What do you think? Jesus says, which of the two did the will of the Father? Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Now, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, the chief priests and the elders replied, the first one, obviously. Jesus said to them, I assure you most solemnly, I want to say to you, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of our God before you. For John came to you walking in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you are seeing this, did not even change your mind afterwards and believe him, accepting what he had proclaimed to you. Jesus is busy telling them something. And so what I pick up about this is the following. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Isn't that so? Het is baie mense wat baie dinge sê, maar hulle doen niks nie. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Secondly, it's not how you start, it's how you're going to finish your race. Want van die dag wanneer jy jou hart vir die Here gegee het, gaan daar baie dinge met jou gebeur tot daai eendige dag wanneer jy deur daai wenstreep trek. But how are you going to live before you cross that finishing line? That's the question. And it's not who you are, it's who you're becoming in Jesus. The greatest call in our lives in Romans 8:29 says that God predestined us beforehand that we will conform, so gelykvormig wees aan sy seun Jesus. We will conform to the image of his son. So we should be becoming more and more like Jesus in our characters. That is God's call upon our lives. And here's the next thing. It's never too late for anyone, say anyone, to change. It's never too late to change. So in this short little parable, Jesus shows us this. God's emphasizes something, and this is what he emphasizes. On deeds over words, and accomplishments over intentions. You see, we live in a world where people want to follow Jesus, and they want to have this thing, spiritual stuff, and they want this Jesus to bless their lives and everything, but they have good intentions, but accomplish very little for the kingdom of God. They have a lot of words, hulle sê baie dinge, maar as jy na hulle dade kyk en hulle lewe, doen hulle niks vir die koninkryk van die Here nie. The first son said he would not obey, but then he obeyed. And you see, that speaks of faithfulness. The second son said he will do it, what his father wished him, but he didn't. You see, he just became faithless. That's faithlessness. Dis nie geloof in aksie nie. God, now please listen to this, is far less interested in what you say and more in what you do. Lord, many a evening God speaks to you and you stand before God and you say, Here, ek gaan dit nie meer doen nie. Tot jy uit die deur uitloop in jou kar klim, dan jy back to square one. Nothing has changed. You're doing nothing about changing things that are causing you to not walk in the best purposes of God, in the plan of God for your life. And that is so absolutely important. It's easy to say, I believe and I trust God, but listen, it's much harder to actually demonstrate that belief and trust in our lives. It's makkelijk om te sê, maar it's 'n ander storie om te doen. Amen. You see, James really understood this very clearly when he wrote this, please listen, to the church. James 2:17. He says, so too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Moenie sê ek het geloof nie, maar daar is niks om dit op te back nie. Want ek weet nie wat is die Engelse story vir daai story nie. Nothing to back it up. Om iets agter dit te hê, wanneer ek sê ek het geloof. James 1:22 again speaking. He says, but prove yourselves. How do you prove yourselves? Doers of the word. How do I prove myself a doer of the word? Actively and continually doing what? Obeying God's precepts, the word of God. He says, and don't merely listen to the word, who hear the word, but you fail to internalize its meaning. You only delude yourself, but by unsound reasoning, contrary to the truth. Ek weet wat die skrif sê, ek weet ek moet dit doen wat die skrif sê, ek gaan dit doen, maar in my lewe, I don't internalize it and begin to actually go over into action. Amen. It's none of you guys, it's all the oaks listening to me tonight on this podcast. Sorry guys. I mean, that parable that I read to you, did you notice something? There absolutely no credit is given to the son who gave the right verbal answer. No credit was given to that oak. He said, I will go, but he didn't go. But listen to this. Instead, the son who initially gave the wrong verbal answer gets all the credit. Because God is after doers of the word, not just sayers of the word. Amen? Their actions I love this. Their actions completely erased their original statement. Yes, the negative became a positive, and the positive became a negative. So what they said, oh, Daddy, I won't go, but then he went. It erased what he said. What are you saying to God that you're not doing? What actions have you got to put into place to erase the things that you once said you will do, but you're not doing it tonight? What have you got to do to make that negative now become a positive in your life? Amen? In other words, it's far less important to get the words right than to get the deeds right. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? I mean, there's this beautiful parable in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. We all know about it when I tell you what it is. Some of you might know. It's about the talents. The servants were judged, listen, on what they did. Not what they said. God gave 5, 2, and 1 talents. The one with the 5 talents, he went to work. There were deeds. He said, Lord, you gave me 5. He has 10. The one who had 2, he brought 4. The one who had 1 brought 1. Hey, how tragic. God kicked him out, took his half these chutzes and he gave it to the blessed ones, and he cast him out into outer darkness. That's the tragedy of that story. And it's something we need to sit up and listen and think about. I know when it comes to works, and we're talking about works, but listen, to understand we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. It's so important that people hear this. Because many people think you've got to be a goody-goody. In the week again, spoke to people, and they thought, oh, I'm going to do a little bit less of this, and I've got to stop that in my life, and then I'm going to become a Christian. Listen, God wants you with warts and all. Come as you are. God will clean you. God will clean you. Because this is what the Scripture says here in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace, say by grace. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jy kan nooit sê ek is 'n Christen vanaand, want ek het myself so goed gedra dat die Here gedink het, yes, check it out, he's a well-behaved duck. No, it's a free gift of God. All you got to do is come by faith and say, Jesus, I accept you. You cannot put works. But can I also say this tonight? But we are saved, listen, unto works. Big difference. We're not saved by our works. We are saved unto works. Because Ephesians 2:10, he's just finished saying in verse 9 that it's a gift of God and not by the works of that we cannot boast. And then verse 10, he says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. To do what, church, does it say there? Say good works. We created to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. God het 'n job vir jou en vir my om te doen. Gaan in die wingerd in. Ja, nee, Here, amen, ek gaan dit doen. Dan doen jy dit nie. Jy sê daai, nee, ek is geïnteresseerd nie. Maar jy weet wat? Ek moet dit doen. Want dit is die regte ding om te doen. En nou gaan ek dit doen. What a big difference. God has a job for you and I to do. Therefore, our deeds and our action, please hear this, reveal our heart's condition in ways that words can never do. Jy kan sê jy is 'n Christen tot die hoenders huis toe kom. Wherever they went to. They crossed the road, the chicken. Whatever. But I'm telling you something, if what you're saying doesn't match your lifestyle, dan is daar 'n probleem met jou geestelike lewe, laat ek jou net vanaand vertel. Jy ken nie die Here Jesus nie. Amen. Because there's not another gospel. Daar's nie hierdie ander een waar God meer sympathiek is met die dinge se. I got to guard myself what I want to say around these places. Hy het hierdie klomp wat nie eintlik wil reg lewe nie, en hulle het gesê, hulle gaan, maar hulle gaan nie, en nou sit hulle daar, en die Here, ag, shem, gaan sit julle klompies in die hoekie, so, ons sal later met julle praat, maar moet nie worry nie. No, God doesn't do that. The story tells us very, very clearly, he was interested in the one who did what he said, even though he said he wasn't, but he changed his attitude. Are you with me? We must have a faith, listen, that works. Remember, I did that James series. We need a faith that works. I can't say I've got faith, but and it's not working. Amen. Ek moet vrug. Jy weet, Johannes die Doper. These are the very Pharisees he's talking about. And when they got down to the river where he was baptizing the oaks, he looked at those scribes and Pharisees. And you can imagine, I mean, this oak was wearing camel hair outfit. Hey, today it might be in, eh? Camel hair. The oak was eating cockroaches. Not so lekker. He was like, can you imagine this long beard and so on? And he looked at them with those penetrating eyes. And he said, Jylle moet die vrug dra wat by die bekering pas. Now that's the message for the church today. Dra vrug wat by die bekering pas. Moenie sê jy is bekeerd nie en dan draai jy nie vrug wat het pas nie. Amen. Some of you are sitting on your other cheek now. Want jy het hom gelig. Please listen to this. Christians will never change the world with religious talk unless it is coupled with a righteous walk. You know why the world is going to hell? Because Christians have a religious talk. Want ons is so slim, ons het soveel geleer, jylle was in soveel dienste, jylle het soveel skrifte, jylle lees so af en toe die Bybel, jylle het een ton skrifties, jylle het hulle so ingelijn, en jylle kan hulle sê op die rechte plek en die rechte plek, maar in jou levensstijl, there's no righteous walk. People won't listen to you, please. God is preparing his bride for the greatest event of all. Jesus is coming back. So that great start, courageous finish. So when he comes, all you got to do is finish. You know, Paul wrote the most amazing story over here in Philippians 3, verse 3 through 14, 13 and 14, Philippians 3. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What is he saying? I don't consider that I've really made this thing that God has called me to. And I mean, he really had achieved a lot, eh? You see, what is he saying is, he says, you know what? I've had a great start, but I'm not focusing on my great start. Why not? Because there's a courageous finish coming. Then listen what he says here. But one thing I do. Say one thing. He says, there's one thing I do. He's focused. Forgetting what lies behind where I had that great start. Straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, that is the scripture for every one of you. Every one of you tonight. Are you pressing on to that high calling in Christ Jesus for that great day? How are you pressing in? What a promise. I mean, the second son had good intentions and he had all the right answers. Great intentions, right answers. Do you know that there's a beautiful saying that says this? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Jy weet hoeveel mense gaan in hel beland eendag. I'm going to still preach on that, I promised you. As the year develops, when God says it's time, I'll know when it's time. But I'm going to talk about heaven and hell. Hell is a real place. It's a place of torment. A place you don't want to go to. The bikers, when they know their buddy has died, then they say, nee, is a goeie dorp. Ek weet, hy is nou daar met die duivel. Hy sê, cheers, hy vang het op. Hey, Buddha, you don't have an understanding in your mind. You're stupid to say things like that. You have no clue what you're saying. It's an eternity without the source, which is God. Sonder God is it al klaar hel. A place of where the worm will not die. Where there'll be anguish and a gnashing of teeth and there'll be suffering. Ek wil nie oor hel preek nie. Ek het nie sommer so lekker gevoel dat ek het sê. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Please listen to this. It would be nice if we knew this for the bookies. Anybody gamble there? Come now so I can pray for you. Deliver you. But listen to this. No winners are declared at the start of a race. Wouldn't that be awesome? Sparkling Knight, the horse with a flopper. He's going to win. Hoy, all your bucks there. Sparkling Knight wins. Woo, make a buck. Bet on a cricket team and then you throw the game. You know the story, you know, we know these stories. People gamble on all sorts of stuff. If you knew the winner is, wouldn't that be just awesome? But listen to me. No winners are declared at the start of a race. Winners are only decided at the finish line. Die path wat jy so op gebed het, wat al hy wat jy omvoer met al die gras, want jy wen niks nie. Hou op met die goeders. Amen. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26 and 27, he says, therefore, I don't run like someone running aimlessly. No, no, man. I want to finish strong, he says. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it a slave. Why? So that when I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. What a story. What a story. I want to say this to you tonight, and it's important. Because it's important what you heard here tonight. No matter what, it doesn't matter what you how you started, or the mistakes or the errors in your past, doesn't matter. Or how greatly you have messed up, or that you're in a bad place spiritually right now. Wherever you are, made a lot of promises to God, but you've never fulfilled them. It doesn't matter, because you see, there's always hope. Dis die wonderlike ding van God. Daar's altyd hoop. Amen. It's not the aashoop nie. It's not too late to turn around if you realize, listen, your state before God. Not before the pastor, not before another Christian brother or sister. No, your state before God. God, ek het teen u gesondig en u alleen. That's what David said, didn't he? Of course, we mess up with one another, but I tell you, when we mess up, first one we mess up against is our heavenly daddy. When you begin to realize that, you've got to take ownership of your mess up. Amen? Like the first son, listen, repent and obey. Repent and obey. There is no other way. It rhymes with time. The parable of the two sons, listen, shows us the importance, please hear this, of transformation. The two of them, one said he will go, and he couldn't be bothered. The other one said he couldn't be bothered, but yet he changed his mind. He transformed from his negative thinking to positive thinking in his life. Is that right? The outcome of the first son, listen, hinges on this thing. Repentance, only after repentance did the change come. It hinges on repentance. Bekering. The change came. Listen to what he said here. Beautiful. He says, and he answered, I will not go. But afterwards, he regretted it. And he changed his mind and he went. There was transformation that took place. Verandering het plaasgevind in sy lewe. You will never change unless you lay down your slackness before God. Hear what I'm saying to you tonight. Acts 3 verse 19. He says, so repent, bekeer jou. Change your inner self of your old way of thinking, regretting your past sins, and return to God. To God, seek His purpose for your life. Return to God and seek God's purpose for your life. So that, say so that, I love it, so that what will happen? Of times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you to a cool wind on a hot day. I love it, it's almost like a clunk. A cool wind, blowing breeze, that wonderful joy when you've laid down all of that stuff that's not of God in your life, and you get up in the morning and you can say, not good Lord, it's morning. You can say, good morning, Lord. Leva mag via sin. I've changed my ways. I'm following Jesus. I'm not just saying something. No, no, I'm living what I say. Amen? Amen. What am I talking tonight about, which I spoke about last week? Going from rebellion to obedience. There's only one way, and that's God's way. Das nie geen ander antwoord nie. Romeine 12 vers 2 sê dit wonderlik. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be, as the word, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then when you do that, you will be able to test, approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the way you think. So important. As this parable was given to the Pharisees at the time, they knew John the Baptist. I spoke about that just now. They knew he spoke about the Messiah. They saw the miracles Jesus did, and he was busy talking to them. I mean, if you go read John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He doesn't come during the broad daylight because he was too scared what they were going to say. So he catches Jesus in the donker gang. He says, hey, psst, Jesus, come here, I want to ask you something. He says, nobody can do the things you do if God weren't with him. And he asks, what must I do? Jesus says, hey, Buddha, you need to repent. You need to be born again. Hy sê, maar Here, hoe kan ek terug in my ma, ek groot is ek, hoe kan ek terug in my ma uit en weer uitkom? Hy sê, my broer, jy is so vaak, hoe ken jy nie hierdie goed nie? He says, you need to be born of the Spirit. You see, and I say this always to our Growing in Grace class. I hope I get this right now. You see, if you born twice, you're only going to die once. But if you're born once, you're going to die twice. And what I mean by this is if you're born twice, born by your mommy into the world, and you're born again through the Spirit of God, and your name's written in the book, you're only going to die. When do you die? When you fall over in this dimension. Boom. And you're with Jesus. But the problem is, if you've only been born once and never been born again, you're going to die twice. The death you do here, and then you're going to come before the white throne judgment of God. Revelation says that. And you're going to be cast into hell. That's the second death the Bible talks about. Don't get caught in that one. But listen, to accept the truth that Jesus gave them meant this, that they would need to change their ways. You see, baie mense wil die Here hê, maar hulle wil nie hulle weer verander nie. Hulle wil aanhou met die sondige lewe. Jy kan nie aangaan met die ou ongoddelike lewe en sê dat jy Jesus ken nie. Ek wil dit net vir jou gee vanaand, vir net, mahala, for nothing. Are you hearing me tonight? I think the most of Jesus, may we always preach the truth out of this place. Hallelujah. You see, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 says this. He's talking about people that say and don't live this life. Listen what he says. Holding on to a form of outward godliness, a form van uiterlijke, sê al die mooie goeders, nee, of religion. Although they have denied its power because they don't live it, they deny its power because they don't live it, for their conduct, please hear this, nullifies their claim to faith. Hulle gedrag trek 'n streep deur die geloof wat hulle sê hulle het. Are you hearing that? Avoid such people and keep far away from those people. Why? Because people that are with you, that are saying, hallelujah, we Christians, but they're not living it. Hulle sal jou aftrek in die gat in. Avoid such people. Hallelujah. Listen, finally, Jesus comes and he leaves hope for regardless of where you stand tonight. He has the hope. Listen to this. Matthew 21:31. He says in that parable, which of the two did the will of the Father? Jesus asks. The chief priests and the elders replied, the first one did the will of the Father. Jesus said to them, well, I assure you and most solemnly say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. Say before you. That's important statement that. That's very important. Listen, he uses the word before you rather than saying and not. Are you with me? He was telling the Pharisees and all the second sons that they will have a second chance because we serve a God of another chance. Dankie Here, laat hy ons nie net 'n tweede kans gee. Because if he gave me a second chance, I used mine 44 years ago. 43.7 years ago. And 25.2 years ago. And 6 months, 7 years ago. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. Listen, what is God saying to you tonight? What is God really saying to you tonight? What are you saying that you're not doing? What are you doing about what you know? Kijk, ons is nie onkundig nie. Ons weet baie. Ons doen niks met wat ons weet. Nie allemaal van ons nie. But they are us. How are you finishing the race that you started? Is jy nog in die wedloop? Het jy 'n inspirasie en 'n aspirasie om by Christus uit te kom, om seker te maak, Here, ek gaan hierdie wedloop volbring met moed. Because that's called courage. How are you going to finish strong? Are you becoming more like Jesus? That's the question. And then I'll close off with this. Will you start the change today? Will you start the change today? Come, let us just pray. Close our eyes. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Because, Lord, it's about your word that says about itself that you will never, your word will never go back to you empty. When you send a word out, Lord, as even when you spoke in that parable to the scribes and Pharisees, they will be accountable by that word. The church tonight will be accountable for the word that's been heard. But you said that it will always produce that which you've sent it for. So whatever you've sent this word in this church to these hearers tonight, your children, there is a reason. And so tonight, as we sit here, I want you to just take stock of your life for a few seconds. I want you to think a little bit. What is it, like the second son, that said, I will go and I will do, but you're not doing it? You know what you need to do tonight? You need to repent. You need to ask God to help you. If you want God to help you tonight, I want you to stand before God right now and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You've heard this word, but God wants to help those who want to help themselves. If you want to say, God, I need your help, but I want to help myself to be obedient to this word. I want to be obedient to this word. You haven't just heard a word tonight, church. This is the Holy Spirit that has spoken into your heart, tonight. What did you hear the Spirit say to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? What is He saying? I want to pray for those of you that are standing, but I just sense so strong in my heart that there are people that should be standing. You're sitting over here and what are the people going to say? Don't matter what the people say. It's between you and your heavenly daddy tonight. You want to ask Jesus to help you. Van waar sal ons hulp vandaan kom? Van die berge nie. Van God wat die hemel en aarde gemaak. God who made the heavens and the earth. It is Him who will help you. But you see, when you stand tonight, you make this choice with God. You need to put to practice. Don't be like that second son tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to do this or that. And then you leave here and you don't do something about it. If you need help, we're there for you. I'm a phone call away. One of the leadership are here for you. We're here for you to help you on this journey. Speak to us. Connect with us. We're here to help you. Come, let us approach His throne of grace right now. Father, I thank you again. That scripture just comes into my heart as you give it to me. In Hebrews 4 verse 16 that says that we can come to the very throne of God's grace. Isn't it so amazing, Lord? You've actually called it the throne of grace. Because we undeservedly can approach it. Undeservedly. But because of our high priest Jesus that paid his life. The price so we can enter into that holy of holy through Jesus. In our time of need, we can come boldly and confidently. We do that tonight. Lord, I come in with each and every one that is standing. I bring them before you and I hold them up before you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know, Father, our lives. How easily we say and we don't do. You're more interested, Lord, in what we do than what we say. It's good to say, but we need to put our faith where our mouth is. I pray, Lord, for a supernatural touch of your Holy Spirit upon each life. I pray for each one, even maybe listening through this podcast right now. Father, that your Holy Spirit, because it's about your Holy Spirit leading us into all truth, because when we know the truth sets us free. I pray, Lord, where there's repentance that needs to take place. If people need to leave this place, Lord, and go and repent and ask God to forgive them, then they will do that. But, Lord, I pray for supernatural touch and change and a life, an abundant life that you promise. Because even as that song we sang, Lord, you will never let us down. You will never let us down. I praise you for that. As we in this atmosphere, I want to just ask, maybe there's somebody that's not been born again. You don't know if you've been born again. If you're not sure you've been born again and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you want to accept Jesus tonight as your Savior, you you want to do that tonight, I want you to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Anybody want to say that in this church? Ek wil my hart vir die Here, vir Here Jesus gee. Anybody want to say that? Lord Jesus, give my life to you. Thank you, Father. Praise God. I don't see any hands tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that so? Praise God. See that hand? Thank you. Thank you. I see another hand there somewhere. Wonderful. Praise God. About to close off the service, and the Holy Spirit just prompted my heart and said, there's people that I have an appointment with tonight, and that's why I didn't end it. It's just so beautiful. Can I ask if you've put up your hand, if you wouldn't mind to come to the front here? Our people want to pray with you tonight. We've got people that want to tell you about this Jesus. We want to put something in your hand. We want to help you on this journey. If you wouldn't mind just to move out of your seat where you are. If you put up your hand, won't you just come to the front, please? I'd appreciate that. Thank you. You put up your hand. Don't sit in the seat. If you really mean business with Jesus, now's your time to come and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Jesus. Praise God. Say anybody else that wants to be here tonight, that should be here tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Henriette. Hallelujah. What a wonderful decision. Great start. He has a great start for you tonight. We really trust God in your life. I just sense when I look at you that God has this incredible plan, and you've spoken many times to God, and you've laid yourself before God, and you've asked God to just show himself to you in so many ways. Many times God did, but then you drifted, and maybe the sermon was for you to hear the service tonight. God's got this wonderful appointment for you. You weren't by accident here tonight. Praise God. Thank God for a young heart that makes a decision to follow Jesus. Father, I pray for these beautiful people tonight. I want to ask that you would extend your grace and your hand upon them, because your word teaches us that it's a free gift. We can't be goody-good two-shoes and try and be as good and then you accept it. You accept us as we are. I thank you tonight. You accept these two precious people as they are, that their names, Lord, as they confess and turn their lives over to you, the greatest thing we can ever do, the most joyful thing. I pray your blessing and your favor and your strength do a fresh new work in their hearts and lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you wouldn't mind to go with the ladies, we just want to pray with you guys. We'll be with you now. Just pray with you and give you